Betting in general in South Africa, gambling is huge. Sports betting is a growing business. It's easy, it's accessible, it's on your phone. There's apps to connect your winnings straight to your bank account. Sports betting businesses see an increase in patrons ahead of a big sports weekend. A few of my friends are involved. They use their knowledge of sports, of data. Sometimes it's just in their bones whether their team is going to win, and then they'll place a bet online, and it's all quite legit. There was the PwC PricewaterhouseCoopers report that said that in 2021 in South Africa, gross gambling revenue was expected to exceed 34 million rand. It's a huge business in South Africa. But we want to talk about the economics, the pleasures, and also one of some of the dangers, the pitfalls of particularly online sports betting. Joining me now is sports business researcher Nkobile Ndlovu. Nkobile, how many bets have you placed online yourself? I know your sports, you know your data, your analytics. It's what we call Moneyball, using data and analytics to predict outcomes of sports games. I'm sure you must be great at that and make a lot of money.
I'm terrible at it, and I lose. I have placed a few, but I'm not a regular bettor, unfortunately. Let me say fortunately, because my generally always wins.
Yeah, my heart tends to overpower my brain in many big decisions in my life. So I'm not very, very good at sports betting, but it's a huge and growing business. There's from the totes to the walk-in stores that have been opening up on almost every corner around us, to now simple and easy sports betting apps, legit on your phone as an app. You make your picks. It's connected to your bank account. And if you win, you win. If you lose, well, then you a couple of bucks short. But it has become a huge industry in South Africa.
Yes, it has, Lester. Thank you so much for having me. Betting is massive, and it's growing really quickly. If we were to look at the landscape, there's your traditional casino stuff, which is, you know, the places that our dummies and grandmothers used to go to back in the day. You go to a physical place, there's slot machines. Nowadays, there's also sports betting, which is the online stuff, as well as the soccer bet or the stores that you see around the corner. And then there's LPN, which is limited payment machines, and then there's bingo. That's generally the four main verticals. Now, in terms of size, you mentioned million earlier. It's actually the total rand revenue, money wagered on betting on horse racing and the sports sector, just those two, which is betting alone, was over 75 billion. Wow. That's total rand value of money wagered. And just horse racing and sports games alone, not including casino, and that was in 2019, 2020. So the industry is massive. It's growing. It's growing quickly, especially sports betting, which is what we're focusing on today.
And there's a greater level of legitimacy in sports betting and gambling companies. We're seeing plenty of online betting companies, even, you know, sponsoring TV shows, sponsoring sports teams. There was a time, I think they still are, Cape Town City football team, sponsored by SportPesa, which is a online gambling platform. Why have we seen sports gambling move into the sponsorship realm of whether it be TV programs or whether it be sports teams themselves?
Well, that's where the eyeballs are, right? That's what sponsorship is about. They want to be seen. SportPesa was sponsoring Cape Town City to a point until they basically got demoted and essentially got kicked out of the country. They're no longer really operating in the country. But you've seen West Ham being sponsored by Betway. You've seen Hollywood Bets, that's a South African company, now sponsoring Brentford in the UK. It's basically about eyeballs and increasing, relevance in that, you know, you're on a big stage, you are registered and you're a legitimate company. Mm-hmm. As you said, we do have an industry which is very well regulated in South Africa by the Western Cape Gambling Board and the National Gambling Board as well. And these companies exist, they are legitimate, and they operate ethically. They pay their taxes as they should, and that's why they exist. But obviously they are, you know, there is the other side of the coin with regards to, which I guess we're going to be talking to today.
I've never placed a bet in my life. I have no moral issue with gambling or betting. I've been part of office pools for World Cups before, haven't won. I've no moral issue with betting. I just believe I'd want to be a bit more in control of the outcome than just simply leave to chance. And when we talk about chance, windfalls and jackpots come as something as small as penalties. And we saw recently when Bafana Bafana played Ghana in the World Cup qualifiers. South Africa didn't qualify because it didn't finish top of the group or qualify to the second round. The SAFA said that there was something dodgy about that because they saw an increase in betting and bets laid simply based on a penalty decision that may or may not have been awarded. It's something as minute as whether a team gets a penalty or not, or whether broadly whether a team wins or loses.
Yeah, so with SAFA's particular case, they claimed match manipulation and they claimed that there was a spike in betting on penalties. Now, the thing about sports betting is that you can bet on up to 100 different outcomes or events in a specific game. You can bet on how many corners there'll be. You can bet on whether there'll be a penalty in the game. You can even bet in intervals, in 10-minute or 15-minute intervals, whether there'll be a goal in the first 10 minutes or not. How many goals there will be in the first half, second half, whether a specific player will get a yellow card or a goal. I mean, there's all sorts of different outcomes. And all of those things can be bet on. And it leaves a little bit of vulnerability in that when betting syndicates approach individual players and they say, we need you to get a yellow card today in the second half of the game and we'll pay you a certain amount of money, that can happen. And that's what would happen when SAFA basically says, well, we found evidence of an increased number of bets on penalties. And as we know, Ghana was given a dubious penalty and they basically went through to the next round.
So then, with the assertion from SAFA, and in the meantime, FIFA has dismissed SAFA's request for a replay or investigation into that match. The risk of manipulation when the industry has grown so much. There's more available platforms, easily accessible sites, apps, websites. There's actually a message here from Max in Weinberg, and he says, "Hi Lester, sports betting is massive. I work in the CBD in Vatican Street. There are about 3 sports betting places in a 100-meter radius. You should see how many guys are outside these shops, meter-long queues with receipts and filling in forms." So when we have decisions that could go according to the blow of a referee's whistle, how do we prevent manipulation?
That's very difficult to prove. And that's why I think that SAFA's claim was denied. Because when a referee makes a series of mistakes, that could be according to, you know, duties in the eye of the beholder, right? The federation could see that as intent to make decisions against South Africa, or it could literally just be a mistake. And how do you prove that? So SAFA would have had to go above and beyond just saying it's match manipulation. They would have had to prove that there was a financial benefit or there was a decision made to intentionally give decisions against, South Africa. And it's very difficult to prove beyond that. So what you would have to do is you'd have to find proof of financial benefit, which would be your most likely, your best bet, basically, you know, in a way to prove that there was some sort of match manipulation. Similar to if you watched the Netflix series Bad Sport, where the Hunter-Cronier issue was shown up and so on and so on. You'd have to prove some sort of financial gain happened in order to say that this game was manipulated. Beyond that, it makes it very difficult.
But why are we talking about this? We're talking about it because over the last few years, we've seen a massive increase in the industry. We've seen a very large, almost legitimization of the sports betting industry with the introduction of analysis data, with since fantasy leagues have now also become more than just hobbies. It's more than just your super brew to pick your best Curry Cup or PSL or English Premier League team. Even sports players themselves are involved in fantasy leagues. And there was a story a couple of months ago, I think in the English Premier League, where punters were looking at the fantasy league picks of professional sports players, then putting that in their picks, or maybe even using it on gambling sites and using that as almost as insider trading.
Yeah, so what happened is that in England, some players, they weren't really thinking. So because they knew what was happening within their own camps, they would either remove or add players to their fantasy teams. And people started noticing that if a certain player is removed from a certain number of players' fantasy teams, that player is probably unlikely to play. And that would have an impact on the possible outcome of the game. So people would start placing bets. And actually, some teams have banned their players from either participating in fantasy teams or publishing what their fantasy team details look like. Because, you know, insight is everything in sport. And there's a number of companies actually that have grown and become gigantic by virtue of being able to collate that data and provide insight to either sports teams or federations or individual people who are willing to buy that data. There's plenty of companies that are big. The biggest is probably Sportradar, and they provide data to betting companies. They provide data to sports teams as well. And data has become currency. It's big money. Data is gold in sport.
Does that then leave room for stricter controls? You spoke earlier about issues of spot fixing. It was brought up when Hunter-Cronier had his fall. Should there be greater levels? Clubs individually have banned players from I guess you can't ban a player completely if you can use a pseudonym or simply just for fun create a fantasy league team, but how do you then prevent, you know, what is sensitive data, sensitive information? And remember, major football clubs are run as major New York Stock Exchange companies. Football teams in Europe make more money trading off the New York Stock Exchange that they actually get from seats and gate ticket prices at their clubs. These are real high stakes issues.
Yeah, no. So it's a very complex issue. There are rules with regards to betting and participating in betting, and FIFA has rules with regards to that. Active sports players are basically banned. You're not allowed to place bets. There's been a number of players who've been banned in England, for instance. One I can think of off the top of my head is Daniel Sturridge. He was banned in England for sport betting or participating in betting activities. It gets very difficult, obviously, as you said, when a player can use a pseudonym or get his cousin or someone to place a bet on him, either, you know, missing a penalty or something to that effect. It gets very difficult. And I do think that there should be some level of control with regard to players and also referees and monitoring referees, because, you know, as I said earlier, if a referee makes a series of bad decisions, as we see in the PSL all the time, it's very difficult to prove that that's match manipulation. But, you know, there has to be some level of control, you know, in order to preserve the sanctity of a game. Because at the end of the day, when people place their bets, they want to place their bets knowing that the outcome is true and fair, and not that there's been some sort of manipulation in the background which, you know, causes them to either lose or win. You know, it'll be unfair, and it kind of kind of spoils the purity of the game as well.
I don't want you to make a, you're not an ethicist, you're a sports economist, but there's a question that essentially asks, look at the way, look at how many betting companies have ads on sports channels. Surely it is predatory in context. As you said earlier, sport and sports viewership is where the money is at in TV broadcasting, and you add that to a booming online sports betting market. There's no real legislation against it, and you have a situation where advertisers will take opportunities.
Yeah, so listen, I'm not going to sit here and say that betting companies are all bad. I mean, betting companies contributed over $3.2 billion in taxes in 2019-2020. They do quite a bit of good in terms of their CSR initiative. But if you look at European trends, in Spain, for instance, and Italy, betting companies are being banned. They're being taken off the front of shirts of teams, and teams are no longer allowed to have sponsorship from betting companies going forward from 2022 onwards. In Europe as well, there's a lot of emphasis, for instance, in England, with regards to companies making sure that they put out information around not betting, betting restrictions. And as well, I'm pretty sure that the same restrictions are going to come in terms of betting advertising being restricted. And in Africa, we tend to be behind the curve. I mean, we've only had one team which is sponsored by a betting company. Here in Europe, almost 60% of teams are sponsored by betting companies. So we are behind the curve, and I think that our legislators should already start looking at the effects of betting in terms of our youth population. We've got a very high youth population in this country. They should also be looking at the fact that our youth population is highly unemployed in this country as well. And it is a tantalizing thing to do. But again, if you don't control what people can see and what level of access they have, you can't be angry at them for using it. And as you said yourself, there is regulation, but is it strict enough?
There's a message here that says, "Hi Lester, I betted once. I laid a bet once. I got asked for my tax number. Why?" Well, SARS would also be quite keen on how much extra money you're making in your bank account from possible winnings, isn't it? And in terms of that shows the greater legitimacy, legal tightening around winnings is that. If SARS is also connected to this conversation on online betting apps, they know exactly how much you're also winning as well.
Yeah, so in terms of tax revenue, you wouldn't be an individual who wins from betting will not be taxed for those winnings as long as betting is not his primary form of employment. However, all betting companies are required to comply with KYC regulations, which means know your customer. So therefore, every betting company has to request your ID number to verify who you are. And they can also take a further step and require for you to prove that the income that the money that you're using to bet is not made from illegal activities. And they will then also pass that information onto SARS if they can see that this person is putting in 20,000 Rand, whereas his bank account says he's only got 100. Where did this money come from? That can also then institute an investigation from SARS. But it's not to say that the basic banking companies are asking you this information just for giggles. They are required by law, by regulation, to provide certain information to the regulator to ensure that there's no money laundering happening and to ensure that a person who bets is who they say they are and that they can actually afford to bet. And I have heard of people's accounts being closed because they're not, you know, either declaring that they're betting and as a primary form of income, and either that or they're overextended in terms of using more money than they can actually afford to lose on betting companies.
Well, Kobile Ndlovu, sports economist, sports business research, I'm not going to be asking you for a bet tip anytime soon, but thank you so much for joining us.